Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Let's start the day.
Okay, go.
Okay, wait.
Three,
I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Oh, okay. Tuesday.
What do you mean you're not ready?
Tuesday.
We've been working for an hour.
Oh, I know. I'm ready. I'm very ready.
I got here like 4:30.
What, like couldn't sleep?
Yes.
It's that time change thing, I'm telling you.
I was wide awake at 2 again.
I woke up and I'm like, wait, I get another hour of sleep. Okay, well, I'm not tired. Shoot.
Exactly.
It's awful.
That's the exact same conversation I had in my brain.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're like, go back to sleep.
I had 3:20 or something. Rolled out. Might as well get up.
Just up and at it.
The dog's confused. He's back from the kennel, so he's just already, he's groggy, right? He's exhausted. And he's like, I'm eating at a weird time.
What a good boy.
But he came home. He was so excited. He went straight to the couch, fell asleep. I love it.
Yeah, it's just exhausting to be dogs, you know?
Do you buy the daycare when you do those packages?
We are all about the daycare
because
we're still, he's 2. He's still technically a puppy and he's got lots of energy.
Gotta run that out.
And he doesn't like, he's like Michael Scott. He doesn't need to be liked, but he has to be liked. You know?
Fair enough, yeah.
He has to, constant attention. He wants a hand on him at all times. Kind of thing. So daycare for a day just kind of mellows him out for a couple days afterwards.
Oh, they're wiped.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. He gets to play with other dogs. He gets like socialization. He thinks it's great and he comes home and he's tired. It's like when the kids, you know, start going to school again and they're just kind of tired.
I'm just exhausted.
Oh,
so
hard.
Much to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, so you know, that'll last for a couple days.
He's still tired today.
Well, like we just got him yesterday.
Yeah.
We didn't pick him up Sunday. So
but like how long will that last?
Probably through mid-Wednesday.
He's got to get back into his routine and get re-energized.
And then Shannon's best friend Memphis is coming. So this is a late birthday visit, but they always try to do a home game with Iowa. So we're taking him to the Oregon game.
Ah.
So that'll, it's fresh new blood. It's new scents. So he'll
have a house guest.
He's like, hey, it's you again.
That'll energize him.
I know. Perk right back up.
Yeah. Hello, you.
Hey, I've been missing you. Except I have no sense of time or memory. So I think I know you.
I
know your scent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He probably does.
They map them in there.
Those dogs.
Where did I read that?
Good noses.
When they do that weird sniff, sniff, and then they kind of like, like it's a extended.
Yeah.
They are scent mapping. They are programming that scent so they know exactly what that means.
I know exactly the kind of dog sniffle you're talking about.
It's sniff, 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 and then it's a weird, almost like a reverse. Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I read somewhere.
Like a sneeze.
Almost.
Weird.
They just trap it in there, so it's forever in their brain.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good for you,
I'll remember you're a good person. You're
and
not
here
danger.
I am struggling trying to remember people's names, looking at their faces.
Wouldn't it be so easy if we could just know people by their smell?
You just walk, hey, it's you.
Ah, Beverly.
Yeah, I never forget.
I never forget a scent. You're right. It's no fair.
It's not.
Faces I get, names I can't. Maybe, should I just start asking to smell people?
Hey, hi, I'm Eric. Can I smell you? Yeah,
and
I know you.
I'll come at your neck. I won't go anywhere lower. I promise.
That's the Dan Eric Hansen guarantee. I'll just sniff your neck. I won't go anywhere lower. I promise. You should start every conversation when you meet new people just like that.
Can I smell your neck? I won't go any lower.
I'm like a dog. I'd like to smell your
neck. They'll remember me.
They will always remember your name.
Yes.
So will the police. And if you found like a $20 bill at work.
At work?
Yeah.
Okay.
You found a $20 bill laying on the floor. Would you just pocket it or would you go around and see whose it was?
Is it in the building or outside of the building?
In the building.
If it's in the building, I would probably go around and see who it was.
You're a good person, Eric.
If it's in the parking lot, finders keepers.
If it's in the I'm with you on that. It was outside. It could be
no
anybody's.
Way.
Yeah, it could be anybody's.
I don't have time to ask everybody the next day.
Well, this was super in the building. A factory worker in Russia is being sued by his company because they had a little bit of a whoopsie doodle, a mistake in the accounting department, and they deposited all of the workers in the factory's paychecks into his account.
Oh!
Yeah. His account got credited $87,000, and he doesn't want to return it.
Because they made the error and he wants to teach them a lesson?
Well, he looked into it. The company says it was a software glitch. He's not entitled to the money. And that total, that sum needs to be paid out amongst 34 employees who did not get paid. And the man's like, I did my own research online and I read that if it's a billing error, yes, I should return it. But if it's a technical error, it's my call if I want to return it. And I don't feel like returning it.
That sounds like an engagement ring, right?
Yes. The fight over who gets the engagement ring.
I mean, the right thing to do, of course, is to return the money. But I'm kind of on his side. Get a lawyer. If you are owed that money, the company can repay everybody else.
They
the company,
should be able
they
to.
They don't want to. But it's the company should just repay everybody else and then fight over the money. If you're making your coworkers wait, that's not fair either.
Yeah.
Like, the company is actually manipulating, you know, everybody against him.
But, like, coworker to coworker, if it's like, hey, man, it's my kid's birthday and I didn't get paid this week, but you did.
Your company screwed up, not him.
I would be furious, though. Coworker to coworker.
I totally get it.
Give me some money.
At that point, do you no longer need to work there and go get a different job somewhere?
Oh, it's definitely time. If you're not getting paid.
Yeah, get out of there. I think he's got a case. I don't know how the legal system works overseas.
Well, that's the thing, because he's in Russia's Supreme Court, and I don't know how it's going to go, but they're looking at it.
Okay.
Because, like, technically, he didn't do anything wrong.
He
didn't steal it.
He should at least be buying coffee for everybody every day.
Yes. Yeah, be very cool, my man.
I don't know how 87,000, what that translates to, number of people working there. That's a lot of coffee orders.
I think it was 34.
34 coffee orders every morning.
34 coffees. And you bring it in every morning, I'm down with that.
You need to make the company the bad guy in this, not him.
Absolutely.
That would be my strategy. I'm on his side.
If you want to keep people on your side, keep getting coffee.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
Hybrids? Yeah. I didn't like the car I drove, so I'm going to look at another hybrid today.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't fall in love with it, so I'm not going to pay the money for it. What?
I want to be wooed.
No, it's not that at all. In fact, the guy, rightfully so, he's a car salesman, right? He's trying to make a deal. He reaches out, how was your weekend? Any more thoughts on the car? The last we had left it, we were going to get to borrow it for the night and see if it fit in our garage.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a good place to start, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I said, you know what? I just didn't love it. So we're abandoning ship on that one.
So back to square one?
Yeah. But I'd like you a lot. So basically, you're now my car realtor. Aww. And go find something that I want. But I don't know, because this is a whole new world for me.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, and I mentioned this before, we are not a brand loyal. I'm more dealership loyal.
Right. So, you'll go anywhere. Kinda.
So I checked his inventory. I'm like, you got these two. Let's give these a shot. So that's today's late afternoon plan.
Looking again or driving?
Hopefully driving.
Okay.
Just to get the, you know, its feel. And this is going to sound so petty. I didn't like the infotainment system in the car.
Like the radio?
Yeah, I just didn't like how it looked.
You know what? I'm very choosy on that as
Which
well.
Which I didn't think I was.
Yeah.
I'm like, everything else. And you get used to some features in the vehicle you're getting rid of. And some of those didn't come over with the new one.
Right. I don't want to be getting less. Like, this is a new car.
It felt like I was getting a bigger vehicle. Like, I was getting a third row, which I didn't really think I needed that extra space.
Yeah.
But it's good hauling capacity. But at the same time, like, but you're giving up X, Y, and Z. And I don't like the buttons.
No, the trade.
Yeah.
Trade.
So, well, I'm at a point now where it feels good that I'm not just buying based on my payment. Because, and that's how we live forever. It's like, what can I afford? Go for that. Now I can be a little more choosy. Which I also think helps in the negotiation process. Which, by the way, when I negotiate, that's how I talk.
Well, let's make a deal.
I know you need to talk to your boss, so I'll just wait here. Take this envelope. I wrote a number down.
I know I've asked previously, but are either of these new options a truck?
They're SUVs. Yeah.
I had to try.
Do you need a truck?
No, it's just always good to have a friend who has
a
truck.
I have a friend who has a truck. Yeah. I'm not going
to
be that friend.
I want you to be my friend who has a truck, Keith.
I'm one away from a friend who will gladly loan you his truck.
Perfect. Okay.
He comes with it, though.
1 degree of
he
separate.
He has to drive.
Oh, he drives?
Yes.
Oh, see, I just want to use the truck.
He'll let you use the truck, but he's a chauffeur.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So I'll keep you up to speed on when I'm eventually going to get a different vehicle.
I had the most bittersweet evening last night. Going back to the Verve. Funeral visitation.
Yeah.
Ugh, always hard. Close friend of my mom's who was actually the mom of one of my friends from high school. So then it was kind of like reunion.
Yeah.
In the worst way. You know, we're all getting back together. Haven't seen some of these people since we graduated
high
school.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh. So, I mean, terrible instance to get together, mm-hmm. but so great to see some faces, have some conversations, play a quick game of catch up. And with some of my super close friends, we went to dinner afterwards and we were just talking about life stuff. And we always say this every time we get together, we need to get together more often.
Oh, don't you hate that?
It's the worst.
You love it in the moment. So the next step is to then grab your phone and book it.
That's what I did, friend.
Nice.
I went in my purse. I said, no, right now, everybody get your phones out and we're going to put a date. Okay. What are we looking at? Well, we got a lot of birthdays. My bestie and I have birthdays in May. We could do it around May. She's like, not good for me. She's a lawyer. She's got a trial coming up. She's going to be very busy at the end of May.
You're taking May of next year? Okay.
Yeah, man. This is how bad it is.
I'm like, how far out are we?
Oh, we're May. May.
May.
And May's not going to work. So we book. And then, you know, end of soccer season. And, we got to
You know, end of soccer season.
Right. So then we're into June. That first weekend in June, I actually have something. So second week in June.
Did you get it?
We got the date.
Oh, woo.
It feels like a huge victory, but man, that's far away.
I mean, even the dinner party's bittersweet, right? We should get together. How sweet. Oh, I'm busy. Oh, you're busy.
How about next year?
Okay, sometime in 26. Deal. Put it on the calendar.
Time for The Buzz with Danson Eric Hansen on Z102.9.
Dick Cheney, who is considered by presidential historians as one of the most powerful vice presidents in U.S. history, has died at the age of 84. His family said in a statement this morning, Cheney died last night from complications of pneumonia and cardiac and vascular disease. The Republican, a former Wyoming congressman, who was also Secretary of Defense, was already a major Washington player when then-Texas Governor George W. Bush chose him to be a running mate in the 2000 presidential race. It's Election Day. Polling places open in about 30 minutes, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. today, Election Day, Tuesday, November the 4th. Voters will need to vote at their assigned polling place. News to me. I thought at one time you could kind of pick a different spot.
I think it's been a minute.
On voting day, got to be at the spot. In addition to city and school races, many ballots will have local initiatives. I know Johnson County, some voters will decide if they want to have a 1% local option sales tax, specifically Iowa City, Coralville, North Liberty, and Linn County. Of course, that big issue on the ballot today will be the school bond vote. Wrapping up the buzz, what's got us feeling all right? I forgot to mention the fire story.
Whoops.
Quickly.
Go back.
This does not have me feeling all right. There was a light fixture fire at Adelita's on Blair's Ferry Road during dinner time last night, about 5:30.
Oh, my.
Caller called it in, 911. It was exterior of the building. So it was one of the lights on one of those like drywall pillars.
Okay.
So quickly extinguished. They had to chip it open to get into. So they took care of it. There's actually a little fire burning inside the pillar. No injuries. Fire remains under investigation. Damage, of course, to the exterior pillar. So everybody okay.
Good
at
to know.
Adelita's. Now what's feeling all right. Big Grove Brewery plans to donate $12,000 split into three 4,000 donations to area food banks to help supplement the current freeze of staff funding. So HACAP, which is our area, Food Bank of Iowa, which is central Iowa, and Food Bank of the Heartland, which I believe is in the Omaha area, which then would cover their locations across Iowa and Nebraska. Big Grove also announcing a donation of $12,000 to local homeless shelters and service organizations. And this is the area where I think we also need to ask some questions, because if people are facing budget challenges, not only on the grocery side,
yeah,
paying bills, utilities, housing costs, mm-hmm. also going in as the economy is not getting stronger
right.
towards the holidays. The week right into Thanksgiving is National Hunger and Homeless Awareness Week. So that's the week that $12,000 will be donated on behalf of Big Grove.
Okay.
So that's two 12,000 donations in our area or areas that they serve. And that story's got us feeling all right.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric.
Yes.
B102.9.
Like, don't stray in the next 2 weeks. So don't go too far.
Truly, yeah, you don't want to go too far because we've got something very special coming up just before the holiday season really goes into full swing.
Tuesday, November 25th, we will not be in this building. We are actually going to be in both of those lower level classrooms. Have you been in this portion of the Marion Public Library, by the way?
It's gorgeous.
It's so cool. So we have the kitchen side. We'll have breakfast set up there. And then we're going to turn those two classrooms into basically a radio studio. We're going to be doing a live show, but themed to shopping small for the holidays. We're calling it Morning Scramble Favorite Things.
We're borrowing a page out of Oprah Winfrey's book.
Stealing.
Stealing. When she would do those big shows and the studio audience would come in and she'd say, this is one of my favorite things and you get one and you get one and you get one. That's kind of how the Morning Scramble's favorite things is going to work as well.
And much like Oprah, this is going to be a hard ticket to get. So we will be giving them away next week in pairs. Going to pack that room. And then the fun part of this is we're not unveiling the small companies until that morning.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the deal with favorite things. It just kind of happens and you don't know what things you're going to get. So we'll do the big reveal and then everybody's going to get something from these businesses and there'll be grand prizes too.
So this is all going down Tuesday, November 25th at the Marion Public Library. We'll ask for you to join our show for about 90 minutes to 2 hours that morning. And you could not pull this off without the help of a lot of our friends in Marion. Marion Chamber of Commerce, Medco, the City of Marion, Uptown Marion. Big shout out to the library as well in Marion. And of course, Z102.9. Morning Scramble favorite things. Get it on your calendar.
Get it on your calendar now.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
I think the honor of announcing who People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive is has bounced around from late night host to late night host. And this year it was Jimmy Fallon's honor to announce the sexiest man alive 2025. Jonathan Bailey, you might know him as Lord Anthony Bridgerton or Fiero from Wicked.
Thank you.
Or Dr. Henry Loomis in Jurassic World Rebirth.
I haven't seen it.
No, but those tiny glasses. Oh, he looks great in those.
Tiny glasses?
Yes, he would.
Get you going?
He looks good in them.
It looks so smart.
I mean, it looks like a real doctor. I bought it.
Dino doctor. Oh, my God.
Anyways, but I digress. I agree with the choice. He said that it's a huge honor, obviously incredibly flattered, but it's also completely absurd. He said it's been a secret. So I'm quite excited for some of my friends and family to find out. He's the first openly gay sexiest man alive recipient that People Magazine has selected.
Really?
I'm a little surprised by that. But he was very excited about that being the first. He also said his first crush was probably Prince Eric from The Little Mermaid.
That's adorable.
Growing up. And as for his ideal date night, he said, I love to do a walk. I love dinner, theater, films. Depends on what number of date it is. You know, like if it's date 100, then like Legos. Because some of my best dates have been Lego dates.
So we got through the pandemic in my house.
I know. I was like, that's what you guys
just
did.
Build Legos.
You want to do Legos?
It's a group craft, right?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. You work together on it. They're for adults too, okay, guys? Justin Bieber is getting ready for Coachella. And if you think that that's going to be the kickoff to some sort of tour, guess again. He doesn't plan on touring anytime soon, despite having some big releases with his new album.
Yeah, I feel like Daisy's just got a shot up there.
I know.
And it's a big hit right now.
Huge hit. So you'd think, okay, tour's coming.
Hit the road.
Nope. Justin's not really feeling it. He said, I just think because I've been touring for so long, just the idea of touring at this point in my life sounds super daunting. I started out really loving it, and then it gets to a point where I'm super burned out. So he said at this point in his life, he really wants to do spot dates where he just picks a city, maybe do a couple of shows in that city. The tour usually runs for a year. It can go a year and a half, 2 years. It's a long segment of your life to commit to that kind of travel. And it's a grueling schedule.
He's got a little kid now, too.
True, true. He said he's just focusing on Coachella for right now so that he doesn't get overwhelmed with the sense of I have to go here, 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 here and do all of these things. The festival's coming up April 11th and 18th, by the way. Okay. The Wheel of Fortune. The People's Wheel, right?
Yes.
It's right about dinner time.
It's always on after the news.
A traditional family values group has put the Wheel of Fortune on their naughty list. And it's not because sometimes contestants guess things that are kind of dirty.
I can see a family values group not being happy with those answers.
Oh, it wasn't those answers. Since Ryan Seacrest has moved in, taken over as host, they've tried to kind of modernize the wheel just a little bit. A group called 1 Million Moms launched a petition urging the producers to return the show to its family-friendly roots because they started using a new category, a new phrase of category. The phrase is, what the fun? And the group doesn't like it. And unfortunately, the recently added puzzle category, what the fun, aims at a mature modern audience with insinuated profanity, making it no longer suitable for family viewing. They added that the Wheel has, quote, deliberately chosen to include controversial categories instead of wholesome ones.
Do you also, okay, let's do this. How about what the fun, followed by Bible verses?
There.
How about that?
So there's balance, a little bit of everything for, I don't know. By the way, the petition has close to 12,000 signatures, which is a little bit less than 1 million.
Yeah, we're all those moms.
Wait a second. You
1 million moms?
You said you were a million moms. I don't know if it'll go anywhere without the 1 million signatures, but we'll see if the, any movement with just the 12,000.
I don't think you're good at estimating the size of your group.
Just a little off.
You're off?
On the numbers. That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
We haven't taken this out for a spin in a while.
I know. And the problem right now is I'm like one of those squirrels that's been out collecting acorns, and I've been gathering useless knowledge, and my tree trunk is full.
We need to get rid of some of these piles of paper.
I have so much useless knowledge to share with you. I just keep random facts. Just spin the wheel, give me a random number, and I'll give you a random fun fact. Thank you. Good spin. Good spin.
Thanks. Banana power.
Powered by banana.
Yeah.
Wow. Some power.
I haven't finished it yet.
Don't. It sounds like it's you're too powerful.
Girthy banana.
Just finished spinning.
Four.
Landed on number four. Do you know the stone amethyst?
Yes. That is the birthstone for February. It's purple.
Oh, yes. It's beautiful, right? Amethyst got its name from the ancient Greek phrase, not drunk. Because there was a belief that if you put amethyst stones in your alcohol, it would keep you from getting too drunk.
Hold on. This is a good note for Saturday.
I know. Hey, tailgaters, get
amethyst in your beverages?
In the beverage. Don't drink the amethyst.
Officer, I am totally amethyst.
I cannot be.
I cannot be drunk because I have amethyst.
I have had amethyst in my beer. Good spin again.
Tell you, it's banana power, man.
Whew. Two. One number. If you talk about having a buttload of something.
Oh, no. I use that. I don't even think about it when I say it, but I have no idea where this came from.
Oh, okay, good. You should know because it's not.
What you think?
It's not what you think.
What's a buttload?
A butt is a real unit of measurement, okay?
In what?
Well, the amount is 108 imperial gallons, 130 American gallons.
Okay.
So it's not common now, but it was once used for casks like of liquid, like wine and whiskey. When you'd fill the barrel up, you'd have a buttload of wine and you'd call it a full butt.
Really?
Yeah.
Again, for Saturday.
Again. It keeps going back to Saturday.
How much did you have to drink? A buttload.
A full butt.
Are you drunk? No. Amethyst. seven pile, please.
Number seven. The word dilemma.
Yes.
Originally, it meant a choice between two options. And it was like a tough choice. I couldn't decide between this or that.
I can understand that.
And then if you had to choose from three things, you were in a
trilemma?
Trilemma.
Trilemma.
And then four.
Does it keep going?
Quadrilemma.
No.
Yeah. So if you were looking at a menu and you were like, oh, I can't decide between the chicken sandwich and the grilled cheese. Oh, but also that whole thing of steak looks great too. If you have a trilemma or a quadrilemma.
You're describing your husband when he goes out to eat.
That guy has a quadrilemma on the regular.
Waitress, I have a quadrilemma.
What would you choose if you were me?
We're not serving that here, sir. I don't know where you heard that word.
I can't help you through your quadrilemma.
One more out of the pile of seven for our daily double.
Okay, so let me stay in here. Have you ever heard of Francis Wharton?
Francis Wharton.
Famous Canadian hunter.
No!
Francis Wharton.
What should I know Francis Wharton for?
Well, I believe deer season happening right now.
Yes.
Francis Wharton shot a deer in the late 1960s.
Is that all it takes to get you in the Hall of Fame in Canada?
No. I should also mention Francis Wharton didn't have any teeth.
So those are unrelated.
No, no. So listen. So Francis Wharton shot a deer in the late 1960s, toothless.
Toothless Wharton, they called him.
And then he made dentures out of the deer's own teeth and used those dentures to eat the deer.
No!
This is the Morning Scramble.
The Morning Scramble.
On Z102.9.
Z102.9, it's 8:11 now with the Morning Scramble. Clouds this morning, a little breeze picking up later today, becoming sunny with a high of 66. 43 right now, Dan Eric Hansen and Claire.
Well, the Morning Scramble can take a minute and help out our community. We always enjoy those moments. And with all this talk about food insecurity on a big food holiday month like November, we thought it'd be great to check in with some of our local area food providers.
One of which is HACCP, a name I think a lot of people are familiar with. And representing them this morning, the Food Reservoir Director, this is Kim Guardart. Dang it.
Guardato.
That's what I said.
You nailed it.
I even wrote it down. Kim, I apologize.
You can just call me Kim. That's fine.
Kim G is here. Kim, let's start with HACCP. It's an acronym. What does it stand for and how much territory do you guys serve?
So HACCP stands for Hawkeye Area Community Action Program. And our organization has 9 counties. Our food bank has 7 counties, so we always want to make it difficult. But we serve 7 counties here in eastern Iowa with our food bank.
That's a huge amount of people to help out. I think that with all of the talk about SNAP benefits, can we kind of start there? Because I know that there's been some partial funds that are now released. How does that affect people who need those benefits?
Right. So yesterday was the announcement that they will fund about let's say 50% of benefits for all people. So what that means is that everybody who has SNAP will get some benefits when those get loaded. So it's going to take at least a few days, if not a week or so, before they can do the calculations and work with the vendor to get benefits loaded on the card. So it's still going to be a bit of a pause yet. And that's the hard part. So today is November 4th. We're looking at another week. Now we're at a third of the month where we have about 53,000 people here in eastern Iowa that are facing food insecurity. And so those folks are trying to find some food to get to when they can get benefits on their card.
Kim, if we were going into this time of year without the SNAP crisis, what would it have looked like? And then how have you guys had to pivot going into knowing it's going to be a bigger demand?
That's a big question. I guess I would say that, typically we would be talking about all the people facing food insecurity because people...
That 53,000 is their SNAP or not.
Right. It's their SNAP or not. And so that's the part that's really hard is that we know there are already so many people that are worried about where their next meal is going to come from. And then you just take away the safety net that helped support them through everyday life. Mm-hmm. And now we get to a place where it's kind of like, oh my gosh, where do we even begin? Mm-hmm. And I think, all of our partners are seeing that. We're seeing it at our mobile pantries. We're seeing that increase even starting last week. And so everybody's feeling that crunch. And, we had some inkling that this was going to happen with the shutdown. So we started ordering food weeks ago to be able to have more food. But I think we all need to be honest about the current situation and that for every meal that we provide or one of our partners, SNAP provides 9 meals. So we can't do 9 times what we're...
I didn't have any clue that ratio was that wide.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's a lot. And I would say, we're already at capacity. Most of our partners are already doing the most we can because the need is so high right now. So it's just really a critical time and an opportunity for people to really see what it's like and what the need looks like and how they can help.
If somebody is in need, how can they find you? Or maybe I haven't gone anywhere yet. How do they find HACCP?
So the best thing to do is go to our website. It's HACCP.org and you can get a map where you can see the pantry that's closest to you so that you can get food. There's meal sites, pantries in all of the locations in all of our counties. You shouldn't have to go too far. We also have our mobile pantries. All of that information is on the website. If you don't have access to the website, you can call us and we can help you find something close to you.
Food insecurity, a major topic right now across the United States and across eastern Iowa. And we're learning so much this morning through HACCP and the Food Reservoir Director, Kim Guardato. Did I get it?
Nailed good job.
It. Thank you. Let's now talk to those people who are listening and would like to donate. Starting with food, what would be a top 3 need right now? I would say food and maybe supplies, right?
Right. Certainly any personal care supplies. But we're facing a food insecurity. So really looking at types of food, protein. So it'd be your canned chicken, peanut butter, canned tuna, things like that. Also canned fruit is a good one. Canned vegetables, pasta, all the things that you might want to eat is something someone else might want to eat also.
And then financially, is it fair to say a dollar might stretch a little better when you're buying it compared to when I'm at the grocery store?
Yes. So our dollar can buy 5 meals. Oh. And so giving your dollar to us is really helpful. And then we also have the governor's match going on right now. So the governor has allocated $1 million to the 6 food banks in Iowa. So for every dollar we raise, the governor will match it with state funds. So that's this is a really good time to double your dollar and provide those donations to us. I will say, because people need food and giving us money takes a little bit longer, you can also help your local pantry right next to you. Wherever you're living, there's going to be a pantry close by you, and get them some food.
What is the easiest way to do that? If people want to make an impact, how's the easiest way to get you money? What's the easiest way to make a food donation?
The easiest way to get us money is to go online, heycap.org, donate button. The easiest way to get food is either bring it to our warehouse in Hiawatha. Otherwise, find a pantry close to you. Go to that map. Find one close to you. Walk in and just give them food.
It's as easy as that. The food insecurity issue, very serious topic. And we thank you so much, Kim Guardado. Thank you for joining us from HeyCap.
It's the Morning Scramble.
The Morning Scramble.
Z102.9.
Z102.9, 853. It's the Morning Scramble on Z102.9.
Food insecurity becoming a huge topic as we're talking about government shutdown and SNAP benefits partially coming back. But that this time of year is just a time of year when we kind of focused on those food needs for everybody in our community. It's a big food celebration holiday. So we thought we'd get an update on how it's going in some of our local food banks. And Together We Achieve, coming out of the derecho, we've got Raymond Siddall, the president of Together We Achieve, joining us this morning. How are you, Raymond?
Doing well.
Great. Great to see you. It's been a little bit since we've had a chance to talk. I'm on your email distribution list, and the whole idea for today having a variety of organizations come in was a stat that you had in your email where what you've seen in the last 2 weeks compared to maybe your interactivity with populations you serve in the last 2 months. How did you word that in the email, and what is your reality right now at Together We Achieve?
Yeah. So, every day, every week, we see new households, new families coming to us that need assistance. And over the last 2 weeks, we've seen more than double that we normally would see in a 2 week period. So,
wow.
It's just it goes to show the growth and the need. But also these are households that probably never saw themselves at a food pantry.
Like a surprise to them. But you guys are open and willing to help people out, even if you find yourself in a situation where it's like, well, I didn't anticipate that I would need this, but here we are.
Absolutely. For anybody in need, we are low barrier access pantry, no income requirements, no ID requirements. So we just want to make sure that those in our community that are struggling with food have access to it.
Well, we wanted to use this opportunity and platform really to get those in our community who can support you. I'm on your website right now, togetherweachieve.org. One of the first thing that pops up on the top there, Raymond, is organize a food drive. How can companies go about doing that in their offices?
Yeah, we love when offices are willing to do a food drive on our behalf. It brings in a variety of food, things that we may not normally see. Also, favorites and staples from other households that they get to share with the community. So pick a few items, maybe 10 items off your list. Throw a little competition together in your office. Let us know that you're doing a food drive. We're happy to share it if the public can contribute as well. And then we can coordinate either drop-off or pick-up.
It's a really simple process.
We like to make it simple for ourselves and those that are willing to help.
If we're looking at food donations, what are some of the things that you guys are asked for most often? What are the highest needs?
Yeah, so always focus on those canned protein or alternative protein options like peanut butter, nuts, those types of things. We want to make sure that we're providing sustainable food and things that can get people through. Boxed meals, pasta go a long way. Typically can make a couple of meals out of that. So those are some of the places that I would focus. Also, don't forget your easy to open cans as well as easy to prepare meals for the kiddos like Easy Mac and things like that.
We also know too that while cash, you could actually buy more than I can give to you, but cash does help you as well. QR coders are an easy way to make a cash donation for Together We Achieve.
Yeah, togetherweachieve.org/donate has all of the ways you can donate, including our Venmo, PayPal, as well as you can process a donation right there on our website.
When it comes to volunteers, how might somebody volunteer their time? How does that work?
Yeah, so we have an increased need for volunteers right now with all that's going on. So togetherweachieve.org/volunteer is a great place to start. Otherwise, stop in during our regular operating hours and we'd be happy to put you to work.
And you guys do such a great job of maintaining when your hours may shift or change, if it's a volunteer lapse or something like that. Where can people follow along or log into to keep track and follow along with what's happening with Together We Achieve?
Yeah, so our website is a great place. We like to use it as a tool for everybody in our community, those that are looking for assistance and those that are looking to help as well. All of our hours and events are listed there, as well as our social media. We're very active to ensure that the community is aware of what we do, who we are, and that we're there.
As we're getting ready to celebrate one of the big food holidays, remember those who are maybe struggling. Together We Achieve, one of those great resources for if you're in need or if you're looking to help out those in need. Raymond Sadell, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Waking you up with the Morning Scramble on Z102.9.
We wanted to talk about food insecurity coming up this month of November, and we thought we should check in with our friends in Johnson County Community Food Bank and Community Crisis Services. Mm-hmm. I visited their website yesterday, and I had a quick pop-up that said something like 58% increase in just the last couple of weeks, and we've got so many questions, so we thought we should bring in somebody who would have so many answers for us. Julia Winter, she's the Director of Development at Community.
Yes.
Thanks for being here. Is that an accurate statement? Did I say that correctly? 58% increase in need?
58% increase from Saturday to Saturday. That's right. So we typically see 160
in 1 week
households on a Saturday. The week prior to this past Saturday, we saw 285 families shop with us. So 58% increase. We know that folks are stocking up, getting prepared for the end of their SNAP benefits.
Right.
And that's been the struggle for everybody. And really the struggle right now is uncertainty, both in terms from a household standpoint and from an operation that tries to help these households.
Yeah.
Julia, when did you start preparing for this? And what does that look like going into what was a normal November look like? And what does this November look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. We were kind of keeping our eye on the government shutdown. This year in general, it's a day to day, right? We've got to keep up with what we're seeing at a federal level, at a state level. So the 20th was kind of our first inkling that SNAP benefits might not happen in December or in November. And that really was solidified on the 23rd is when we started communicating, when the Iowa Hunger Coalition started communicating that we will not have SNAP benefits in November. And that is a crisis for thousands of households in our county. But not just those households. It has more than $2 million in financial impact for just Johnson County alone. So multiply that statewide, right? That's like 45 times the financial impact. So it's not just these families, it's all of us feeling this hurt. Typical November, of course, we're going to see small increases in food services just because it's getting more expensive to heat our homes. We've got the holidays coming up and people are trying to save to put money towards gifts for loved ones that they want to show their appreciation for. And so they're using services like food bank, like financial support to have kind of a supplemental support for their budgets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which completely makes sense. You know, everybody wants to do the most, show they care for people the holiday season, but it can be a stretch on budgets for families.
Absolutely.
If you're looking for donations, what kind of things are you guys looking for? I think I saw on your Facebook page you just recently had a toilet paper drive.
Yes. Yeah. October was our TP community toilet paper drive. So toilet paper is one of those things that households cannot purchase on SNAP benefits. So that's an added expense. And if you've purchased a pack of toilet paper lately, you know, if you're buying a bulk quantity, you can expect to pay $20 for a pack, if not more. So that goes a long, long way when we can give a roll of toilet paper to every household that visits us. We're rolling into the holiday season, so we have Project Holiday coming up. Every $30 donation enables us to provide an entire holiday dinner for a family to cook for themselves. And just in general, food and financial donations are so, so important right now. If you host a food drive, those items can be put on our shopping floor same day into people's carts, into people's homes same day. If you give a financial donation, we're going to lump all of those together to be able to purchase from our bulk suppliers, and we'll see those foods come in a week or two. So it just, everything is needed, no matter where your heart is pulled, whether that's babies, kids, seniors, pets. Like, we need all of it to be able to serve these families.
Julie, if my office wanted to do a food drive, do I need to give you a heads up that we're working on it before we just show up with a bunch of items?
That's a great question. No, you don't have to. Okay. However, we'd love to know so we can help promote it. We can provide you with donation barrels. We can get you a custom fundraising code if you'd like to do financial donations in addition to food or instead of food. So we want to be able to help provide those resources for you. But at the same time, nothing's going to stop you from pulling up at the back door and, you know, unloading 300 pounds of groceries.
And as a community resource, while you can help any family anywhere, you are primarily centered in, have most families, I would say, in Johnson County?
That's correct. Yeah. Yep. So we're located in Iowa City. We serve all of Johnson County and the surrounding area. If you're able to get to us and you're in need, we will help.
And for a lot of families, when these crises come up, whether it's food or whatever, it can be kind of a domino effect.
Yeah, you stole my line, Claire.
Yeah, I know. I was like, what's the word? Like a ripple effect.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of different things can affect these families. And you guys are there with lots of different services.
Yes, not just food bank, but we also have financial support services. So we can do rent, utility assistance, security deposit assistance. We help folks get IDs, birth certificates, work and education enabling items. Like if you're going to school and you need a laptop, we can help you get a laptop. We have a generous donor that provides funding for veterinary assistance. If you have a pet that has a medical emergency come up and you can't afford that, that can be hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. And those pets are babies too.
Right.
So we want to be able to provide holistic services for our clients, because if you're facing food insecurity, you're also struggling with financials, and that's bound to take a toll on your mental health as well. So we want to provide, you know, the entire gamut of crisis services.
Julie, where can people learn more about Community Crisis Services?
Great question. You can visit our website at builtbycommunity.org. We also are keeping really up to date with our socials right now, making sure that we're informing and updating there. So we're Community Crisis Services on Facebook, Instagram, we're on TikTok, all of the fun socials. So check us out wherever you are.
Thank you. Julia Winter, Director of Development at Community Food Bank. We are ready for November. And if anybody else has any donations, any last minute, that website again?
Builtbycommunity.org.
Julia, thank you so much. Thanks to all of our guests this morning, by the way. We've had a lot of interaction with our social media as well at Z102.9. So we've got links to Community, links to Together We Achieve, and also links to HACAP right there on the Z102.9 Facebook page.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.